All right. Sorry about last week again. It's been crazy. Anyway. So what I want to do this week is, before we get back to the Tanya, because I need some time to, it's a new section in Tanya, I need some time to get fully grasp of the topic before we can, so I'll try and do that. But I thought it would be anyways good to do the following, and that's this week is Parshas Mishpatim, but actually it's also Parshas Shkolim. So we know this coming Shabbos is the Shabbos Mevarchim Adar, right? Things are moving very quickly in the calendar. And because of that, we start reading the four extra special Parshas that we do around this time of the year, right? You know what I'm talking about? Two before Purim, two after Purim. And the first one we do is Shkalim, the Mitzvah of a Half a Shekel. Just to recap, the reason why we do it then is because during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was for every person to give a half a shekel each year, and their funds were used to buy sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, animals, to buy animals for sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, which meant the cycle was like this, because the way it worked in the Mishkan was that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right, which is a month later, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the money they used to buy karbonos had to be from the new funds, the new shkolim for that year. Therefore, what they used to do, the Torah teaches us, the Gemara teaches us that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they would start sending out messages all over Israel, there's time to pay the yearly half a shekel. So because we want to remember the mitzvah of half a shekel, so we read it on Shabbos Mevarchim Adar, or if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, then we read it on that day, but otherwise Shabbos Mevarchim Adar. Okay. There is an interesting connection between Purim and Machzis HaShekel, which is another issue. I mean, this is a timing issue, I just said before, but there is a connection. And the connection is that the Medrash says that when Haman came to Ahasuerus and said he wants to annihilate the Jewish people, and he offered him 10,000 kikar of silver, a heavenly voice came out that your plan will not work because the Jewish people's shkalim has preceded your shkalim. So in the merit of the mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, that gzeira was avoided. Okay. So, what I want to do is, I want to have a look at page 484, which is where Shkolim is. It's Parshas Kisiso. Yeah, you want me? So these are the psukim about Machzis HaShekel, because it's quite that we're going to learn a maimer that takes apart the different words of the pasuk. So I want to just learn the pasuk in its entirety first. So we learn like this: Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe leimer. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, "Kisiso." Now, "Kisiso es roish b'nei Yisrael." So the literal translation is, although it's not the contextual translation, the literal translation means when you lift up the head of the Jewish people. If you look at the article in English, it says when you take a census of the children of Israel, that's what it means. That means you count here. Lifkudehem, according to their numbers. That's, again, the simple translation. So the way it should be done is, v'nosnu ish koifer nafshoi l'Hashem. Each person should give what the pasuk refers to here, an atonement for their soul, right, to God. In other words, the machzis ha-shekel, the half a shekel, was like an atonement for their soul. Bifkoid oisam, when you count them. And as a result of that, there won't be a plague when you count them, because the simple pshat is this goes also to the general mitzvah that you're not allowed to count people. And in fact, Dovid HaMelech's time, there was a census that was taken and they did count, and there was a plague that broke out. That's why we don't count people. What we do is we count things. So they could count the half a shekels. That's how they did it, right? Okay. Now, the pasuk, next pasuk says, but pay attention to the wording here. Zeh yitznu. This is what they should give. Who should give it? Kol ha'oyver ala pekudim. All those that are passing through the census. Which actually also has a thing that's got to do with the army service. So it was actually only from 20 years old. Between 20 and 60. What should they give? Machzis ha'shekel, b'shekel ha'kodesh. They should give a half a shekel, which the shekel we're referring to is a coin called the shekel ha'kodesh, the holy shekel. Now he says, what does that mean? Esrim geira hashekel. A shekel is 20 geira. It's a currency. 20 geira makes up a shekel. And what they should give is machatzis hashekel trumalashem. It should be a half a shekel for this gift to Hashem. Then the pasuk repeats, kolo over alap kudim, all those that go through the census, mi ben eshim shonav amada from 20 years old, yite and upwards, yite and trumas Hashem should give this truma. And he says the rich shouldn't increase, the poor should decrease, and so on. Okay. You got it? Now let's have a look at dissecting this pasuk a little bit. More sort of interpreting up its cities. So this is from Tafshin Lamed, 1975. The Rebbe said this maimer. And he said, we'll do part of it. We'll do just the parts that are highlighted with the yellow, which is most of it, but just I thought it would be easier for... He said like this. Kisisos Rosh B'nai Yisrael. So he says, we will count the B'nai Yisrael. V'nosna ish kofer nafsho. He quotes the pasuk, quotes parts of the pasuk. Every person should give the atonement of his soul. Ze yitnu. What should they give? Kol over al apkudim, all those passing through the senses. Machsis ha-shekel, they should give half a shekel. Esrim geira ha-shekel, there's 20 geira to a shekel, and so on. Says the Rebbe, v'yodua adiyuk v'zebedusha v'sein nusiyena. We know, it's well known, the questions that are brought down in the discourses of the Mamorim of the Rabbeim, of the other Rebbes. And he says like this, first of all, mahu omra kisiso. What does it mean, kisiso? Ha-perush ha-poshut. Now, the simple pshat of the pasuk, obviously, kisiso means shakoi al-inyan ha-minyan v'ha-cheshba. Kisiso means when you will count, right? Imke, that's the case. Havaleila meimar, it should have said. Tifkoid. The real word for number in Hebrew is tifkoid, to count, right? Or simnoi, maybe, it doesn't say that. Or of oidlashon, or other types of language like this, right? Loma neimar loshon tiso. Why does it choose the word tiso, which means shemoire alag bovis nasis? Tisa means to be uplifting, to soar upwards, right? Go to the next part. Gam tzarech levin, also we have to understand. Masha nemar v'nosnu ish koi for nafsha. Why does it say each person should give an atonement for their soul? Delechure, eize chet yeshkan. What kind of avera do we have here? Shal zeh tzarech liyas in yishol kapar? Which avera are we talking about that they needed an atonement, right? Sorry?
Only men
gave the house a shekel? Yes. But it was also on behalf of the women. It's spiritually, obviously, it applies to everyone, like every mitzvah, right? It's important to learn about all the mitzvahs, even ones you're not obligated in, because we're spiritually obligated to all the mitzvahs. Just some mitzvahs we practically don't have to keep, or applies to only certain people practically, but, right? I'll give you an example. Like, it's important to learn about tefillin, because tefillin is the idea of subservient, making subservient your heart and your mind to Hashem. Certainly applies to women too. Maybe the shati do not need the tefillin to do that, but they still have to learn the concept, right? You understand what that means? What does that mean? And so on. Even today, when we do before Purim, there's Erev Purim, there's a thing, on Tiny Esther, there's a thing about giving 3 half coins, just as a remembrance for the mitzvah of Achzis HaShekel, 3 50-cent coins, whatever. And many people have a minhag, I do this as well, that they give on behalf of all the family members as well. So obviously, because it applies to everyone. I guess when people gave Machzor Shekel in temple times, it was also on behalf of their family, I imagine. Yeah. All right. So, now, so why does it say Koifer? It should be an atonement. I'll be posher to the simple meaning of this is Fisha in Tzorek Limnos Yisrael. He's trying to tell them not to count the Jewish people themselves. And they should count the half shekels instead, which means that's like an atonement for your soul. Otherwise, it's dangerous. So, like you're giving something for your soul instead of being counted yourself. Aval, he says, that's what it means. Koifer nafshei, instead, in exchange for your soul, basically. Aval ma'amare loshen kofer, but saying the word ma'amare loshen kofer, saying the word koifer, mashma seems to imply she'll be shul kapara lachet, that it's an atonement for the sin. Keep going. The next piece, they were What avera are we talking about? Moisiv, additional to the question is like this. Should be Yoser in a move, and even not more is not understood. Mashakosov koifer nafshoi. It doesn't say atonement for yourself, it says atonement for your soul. The soul is not the one that sins. As we know, the Zohar says, right, that when it says in the Torah, the nefesh kisechtes, there is an expression in the Torah, a nefesh that sins, and the Zohar says, it's more question mark. Nefesh sins, nefesh can't sin, nefesh is clean, right? Next question. Yes, there's a bunch of questions here. I'm going to go through, them quickly. Yes, we're going to add to this by prefacing Mashakosav. It says, who has to be counted? Those that are going through the census, right? Shapiru Shaposh. And again, a simple pshati, Shakoyal and Yunaminian. That goes, it's talking about counting. Pakudim means census. So therefore, all those that are going through the census. Avol bidrushim, but in the mamorim of the Rebbe's, huvo bapirush. It brings a different pshat. Shepekudim uloshem chesorim. Now this is another thing, right? So we have in Tanakh, there was a story of David and Yonason, right? I'm just going to give you the background to what he's about to say. David and Yonason were very, very good friends, but David became a son-in-law of Shaul, and Shaul hated David for a part. He was threatening him, so he hated him, and he wanted to really harm him. So Yonason was on David HaMelech's side, and they made a plan, maybe David HaMelech should just stay low and it should be avoid Shaul altogether. And it says the next day was was Rosh Chodesh, right? You don't tell the story. We read this after if the next day is Rosh Chodesh. And they spoke amongst themselves and they said, and Yonason and David HaMelech was just going to be absent. He wasn't going to come. There was a big family event for Rosh Chodesh, as it used to be done those days. And David HaMelech's chair was going to be empty. And Yonason says to him, "Venifkadato, you'll be missed, ki yipokei d'moishovecha, because your seat will be empty." And then it says later, "Vayipokei d'mokim David." David HaMelech's seat was empty. And the whole thing, Shaul asked where he is, so he said he had to go with his family. And the next day was again empty, and then Shaul HaMelech got very upset and wanted to harm Yonason. Yonason ran away. And they met up and they made this covenant between them. Yonason and David were very close. Okay. So he says the word pekudim actually means to lack. Kamoye Shanem, like it says, Vayipokeid Mokim David. Right? That David HaMelech's thing was empty. And the truth is, Adle Pirush Chazal is a Chazal, which is in the Zohar and in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says, Shakola Oivir El HaPekudim, this pasuk that says that all those give Machtis HaShekel are the ones that go through the pekudim. Actually means alman de ovar, oiver can mean pass through. Ovar could also mean to transgress. And it says, what does it mean? All those that transgress al pekude de oraisa. Pekudim could also mean empty, missing could also mean commandments. So oiver ala pekudim can mean those that transgress the commandments of the Torah, the ad lechet egel, including the chet of the egel azav, which is where we come to that machtis hashekel was actually an atonement for the Egel Azor, right? Shuhepuch Klolos HaTorah, which the Chet of the Egel is very serious. That was idol worship. It goes against the whole Torah. Kemavura B'Tanya, like it says in Tanya, Shemitzvahs Ve'Azoras Avodah Zorah, that the mitzvah and the warning of Avodah Zorah Shem Shnei Dibros HaRishonim Anoichim V'Yelachot got to do with yesterday, past week's parasha, that these are the two commandments that Hashem said Himself, Heim Klolos Kol HaTorah. That's the general part of the whole Torah. Okay, very nice. But now we have a big problem. Now we've sort of sorted out what it means called the over al pekudim, all those that transgress the commandments. And therefore, we also understand why pekudim means lacking, because they're lacking something, because they do avarice, right? And that and the machzah shekel was like an atonement for the thing. But then there's a big problem. Why? Because avalal piza yuksha yosin, that's even a bigger question. Going back, when it says omru kisiso, when it says kisiso, Shemoyra gamalag bovis nasus means uplifting, elevating. Sharakinim tsoyim b'matzav shlis nasus v'agbo. When a person is in a state of elevation, loishayashi inyishol chet hadorish kapara, you shouldn't need an atonement for an avera when you're in a good mood, when you're elevated spiritually, obviously, means, right? Ubi yoysi yukshen, especially that's difficult to understand, shemashmois lashon huka shatisos resh b'nei Yisrael, right, that when you will lift up the Bnei Yisrael Sh'inyan Akbar, you're going to lift them up, you're going to bring them to a state of complete elevation, and then it says, V'nosnu ish koi for nafshu, give an atonement, which now we know means the atonement for the Egel Azov. How do the two things actually get together? Yeah? Okay. All right, nice is like this. Yuvin Behegdim will understand this by first prefacing Klolus Sa'inyin the Machzis HaShekel. The idea of Machzis HaShekel. Shenema, because it says, Zer Yitznu, it says, this is what they should give, as we learned in the Pasuk. Machzis HaShekel, half a shekel. And then it says, Esrim Geiro HaShekel, a shekel is 20 Geiro. Gidiyuk Bedrushim, like they ask in the various Mamorim, Shalachur Ena Muvin, it doesn't understand, don't understand this. Why doesn't the Pasuk just say it straight? Just say you have to give 10 gerah. We can do the maths. Right? We know that there's 20 gerah to a shekel. Just say, give 10 gerah. Okay. So let's explain the following. When a person serves Hashem, there's two parts of serving Hashem. I'm talking about doing mitzvahs, particularly the idea of loving Hashem and fearing Hashem. Right, being spiritually connected, emotionally connected to Hashem, and so on. Yeshno hachelek, there's the part of a person's service, sha'oise ba'atzmeh, that he does himself. Ba'ofen shel is'arusa l'latat, is what we call an awakening from above, from below. Then, v'yeshno hachelek, the next page, shenimshach al yedei zeh, which comes down to the person milamayla, right, from above, ba'ofen shel is'arusa l'le'elah. In other words, from awakening from above. So what we do down here, Hashem then responds in kind. He gives us a similar gift to what we were doing down here. Ukemavur besidur, like it says in Alter Rebbe Sidur be'ha'or le'tikun chatzos, in a piece there which explains the idea of tikun chatzos, which is a prayer you say at midnight, for those that used to do it or do it still. Le'inyan shleimus ha'avu v'yirun, and explains it with regard to the perfection of the love and fear of Hashem. Shaboyim milamayla, that comes from Hashem. Hashem gives us sometimes an infusion of a feeling of love for him or a fear of him, right? And explains what that looks like. Al yedei agdoma savoydes sa'ava v'yiru lamata. What that looks like, prefacing the love and fear which we conjure up ourselves, right? Interesting, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Hashem doesn't give us love and fear. We're supposed to develop it ourselves, which is what part of Tani is about, how we do that, but also the Rambam of yesterday, the day before. We now started a new cycle of Rambam, right? So in the three chapters and also Sefer HaMitzvahs, there's this, yesterday I think it was, and today also is going to be more, I think, of that, is the mitzvah to love Hashem, right? And to fear Hashem. And of course, the Rambam says it's a difficult mitzvah. You can't, it's very easy, not easy, but I'm saying it's possible to command someone to do something even if they don't feel it, but it's very difficult to say, love me when you don't. Like, right? This. So, therefore, the Rambam explains the whole mitzvah is to come to learn about Hashem, and that's what the Rambam spends a few chapters at the beginning of the Rambam explaining first of all the astronomy and the whole makeup of the world physically, to understand the wonders of Hashem, and also to understand the spiritual angels and spiritual worlds. The Rambam gives us a few chapters in that, very difficult chapters. And he says you need to reflect on these things, because when you reflect on the greatness of Hashem, you come to love him. You understand? That's the only thing worth loving or worth respecting or worth being in awe of, and so on and so forth. Right? So that's the... What am I bringing that? Because that's the idea. Fulfilling... There's a mitzvah of love. There's also a mitzvah of fear. Es Hashem elekecha tira. You should fear Hashem, right? Which means you've got to put a lot of effort. Not just... You can't just love Hashem. You've got to put in effort. You've got to learn about Hashem. You've got to understand Hashem. You've got to try to bring yourself, at least emotionally or at least intellectually, you've got to do what you can to love Hashem. Then what happens is, when we do that, Hashem gives us a bigger infusion, if we have the schluss, of love and fear of Hashem, right? So he says like this, Zeu gamo inyan shel machzis hashekel. This is the concept of machzis hashekel. Now he's going to explain why. This is a very beautiful thing. Why it says we should give 10 geira, right? Because there's 20 geira to a shekel. But also emphasize that it's a half a shekel. This is like it's why. Because a person has to serve Hashem with all these 10 powers. And it was like this. The way we serve Hashem shouldn't be half. It should be our complete self. We've got to serve Hashem, chachma, bina, das, chesed, we're everything. Every part of every component of who we are, we're going to serve Hashem with. Which is Eser Geira, that's the 10 Geira. And at the same time to know, it's only half the story. Because what happens is, when we serve Hashem completely, we have completed, remember, 10 Geira, that's completion. But we've completed what? The first half. That's what's Machzis HaShekel. Right? And through that, Then the other half comes from Hashem. The Oz Dafka, and only then Nase Shekel HaKodesh. Then it becomes the Shekel, referred to as the Shekel HaKodesh, the Holy Shekel. Shekoilil Estrim Geira, which all then includes 20 Geira, the 10 that we accomplished, and the 10 that Hashem gives us. However, he emphasizes, Aval Inyan Zeo Boifen, this idea is in such a way, Shehamachsis Shenim Shechem Lamaila, the half that comes from above, Einoi Inyan Bifnei Atzmoi, is not something separate. It joins, it merges the 10 Geira that Hashem gives us. The half that Hashem gives us merges with our half, right? And it has the effect that all the details of the avoid of a person, whether it's the avoid that we serve Hashem with our inner powers, like the midas and the seichel, the hemakorechus makifim, or the way that's more the all-encompassing powers, like the higher parts of our neshama, the chaya, the rule of Hashem, all those things, nasim be'oifen shelag bovis nasus. They suddenly become so elevated because Hashem has given us His half. So it's not like we remain the same and Hashem just like imposes another half. The half that Hashem gives us, which is in response to what we give Him, merges with our half and it totally elevates it. Right, which is the idea of siso. Shezeo inyan siso es roish. When you will lift up, but you lift up the head. Why? Shenirgash bohem, that it becomes felt shemitzadam shachma lamayla. You feel very elevated. The whole of you feels very elevated, but you feel that it's coming from the head, although it's coming from the real head, which is Hashem Himself. Right? Al derech ha-mavur, like it's explained in other places, a person has to pay attention to know them, to really know. Shekol ava v'yira, that all love and fear, that comes to a person. When a person feels very inspired, when a person feels amazingly uplifted, whatever the case is, you should always know who matas Elohim, it's a gift from Hashem. Shenoisen koyach, that Hashem gives us a power, that smiach avas Hashem, to make the love of Hashem grow. V'yirose aponov, and the fear to have Hashem. Einam shachim, and doesn't come mikoyach ha'odom or over us. It doesn't come just from the work that we do. We've got to do the work, but it comes from Hashem. Right? We do the 10 geira, our 10 geira, and the rest comes from Hashem. It's a very, very important thing also, because just like emotionally and from the perspective of serving Hashem, very often people learn about things. We've talked about this many times, but I think like it's no connection to me. I'm not reaching this thing, right? I kind of meant love Hashem, fear Hashem, all that kind of stuff, right? And I think one of the answers that, I mean, there's many, many answers. We've talked about them when we learned Tanya, but learning about these things, then trying, doing our part, but doing our part as much as we can, knowing that it's not where we want to go. We want to be much higher than that. The goal is much higher. But the goal only comes to you as a present when you reach what you can reach. And that's very much embedded here with the idea of Machzeh Shekel, because it's the concept of you do your half. And your half has to be, but it's got to be complete. Eser Geira. And everyone's Eser Geira, everyone's 10 Geira is different. Right? It's about filling up what you can do. Doing a bit more than you can do. It might look very different to other people, but it's your full Eser Geira. And then understanding that's Taka only half the job, and the other half comes from Hashem. In whichever way He wants to give it to us. And that lifts the whole of us, right? When I say each person has their own Eser Geira, you know, the Rebbe, it's the meaning, we know this from Chol Moedecha, your very, but the Rebbe once spoke at Sikh on Purim. And he talks about the idea of Koshel Brocha, the Kiddush cup, or anytime we make a Brocha on a wine for an occasion, the halachid has to be full. But there's a minna, not just to make it full, but to actually spill it over just a drop, right? Like with Abdullah Kiddush and so on. There should be overflowing brachas, but let me explain an interesting thing. The halacha is going to be full and or even overflowing. But not every cup, it's not about a volume of wine. Because, yeah, there's a bare minimum of volume of wine, which is true, just like in our own spiritual cup. Obviously, there's a bare minimum that everyone's supposed to try and adhere to, right? But nevertheless, and with a cup of wine, there's a bare minimum of 100 mils, whatever it is, or a vase, right? But beyond that, most people Kiddush cups are bigger than that. Doesn't matter. And whatever your Kiddush cup is, or your Koshel Brocha is, you've got to make it full and overflowing. It's not about the volume of wine. It's about making it full and a bit more. That's what it is. Right? It's the same thing over here. It's like, it's reminded me of it, because the same idea of serving Hashem with 10 Gator. 10 Gator means I serve Hashem with whatever I have. Whatever I have. It might be a small cup. Maybe next year will be a bigger cup. Whatever. But whatever I have, I have to serve Hashem, even if it's a very small cup. But it's got to be full and overflowing. And then Hashem gives you the rest. It's a very important perspective, right? It's not about...
Rabbi, what was the connection I lost you between what you've just been speaking about and right at the beginning when you said the seat was empty?
No, because one of the things that it says there in the pasuk, which we're going to learn in a minute and tie it in, is that, no, we're just explaining why the word takudim, in the pasuk of the Machtzis HaShekel, it says all those that go through the pakudim. But it has many translations. Pakudim is can mean census, it can mean army service, and it can mean empty, missing something. And we said that even those people who go through Oyver, they go pass through the Pekudim, which means they transgress. Or Pekudim can mean commandments. So therefore, all those that transgress the commandments, they didn't do the right thing, or they are missing something, also the word Pekudim, also have to give the Machtzis HaShekel, and they also elevated through that. So we said, but that's, how does it go together, being elevated and being missing, and how does it, oh yeah. So we'll see, you can explain in a second. Okay. So far we've explained the one question, how it says 10 Geira, but then it says Machtzis HaShekel, why do we need both numbers? I guess the question is, either tell us to give half a shekel, or tell us to give 10 Geira. Otherwise, it can be the same amount. No, the answer is that it's a spiritual thing to understand, that we have to give the whole of us, which is the 10 Geira, but understand that it's only half, because Hashem gives the other half. Right? Just at a wedding on Sunday, in such a funny thing, a wedding is in Sunday in Melbourne, and at the Chassan's Tish, it was a big Chassan's Tish, and there was a photographer there. The Chassan's of Melbourne, is that way. So he comes up to me, he's like a real Christian guy, very like sort of pro Israel. Right? He says, "You want to know where I'm from? Do you want to show whatever?" He says, "You know, because I said something at the Chassan's Tish, I don't remember what I said, but I said something to do with a word in Hebrew that means two things." He says, always very, very fascinated about the Hebrew language, that it's not just words, it's not just a language, it's actually really, each word has meaning and sometimes multiple meanings. And I said, yeah, it's the holy tongue, it's the tongue with which Hashem created the world. So it's the letters that Hashem created the world with, so everything's got numerical value, gematria. That's why it's called Lashon Kodesh, right? Because that's the idea. So we have this often, and the Rebbe would always very much emphasize that when there are many, many words in the Torah that mean different things. And we always emphasize that when we find a word in the Torah that means different things, it means both all of those things, but also you must say there's a connection between them. And many of his talks will always be to find the connection between different translations of the thing, right? Anyway, it's interesting. All right, let's see what he also. Okay, let's see. So here we have this emphasis, because I mean it means so many different things. Oyver, Bekudim, all these things, see. So obviously referring to the people going through the Machtzis HaShekel. It's also referring to what the Machtzis HaShekel represents, which have to do with the other translations. So it's all connected. Now we can understand Mashakosu, what it says in the Pasuk, Kol Ha'oiver Ala Pekudim. Now we're going to go back to that word. Those that go through the Pekudim, Shugam Aloshen Chesoren. And it means lacking. And we ask the question, how can it be lacking when you're elevated? So it means lacking. He says, why? Because afshenim tsoim b'mayim d'matzah shel agbovis nasus, the truth is actually not contradictory. You can find yourself in a great state of elevation, right, and you can still be lacking. How so? First of all, shelo yisev lakach sheyesh lefarish hakavona b'zeh ulchisorim b'dakus al koponim. First of all, it can mean that we said the word aveira, right, transgress. Aveira is not comes to the word chet, right? Chet means a sin, right? But the Chassidus brings that we find in Tanakh, chet also can mean lacking, same thing. Sometimes we can find a person can have a lack, but it's on a very nuanced and spiritual level. We're not talking about that he's really done something terrible. Right? If someone does a terrible, terrible aveira, it's hard to correlate that with being uplifted spiritually. But But sometimes a person can be lacking. He's lacking. It's still called an aveira, but it's lacking. Right? Go to the next page. Not only that, he says a very interesting thing. He says, Yesh loymar, she'akavona hu lechisorein. Right? That also means it's referring to a lacking. First of all, when you elevate it, you can still not be perfect. That's number one. Second of all, actually there are lackings that can be highlighted specifically when you elevate it. Right? And he says a very interesting thing. Al derech hamavur bedrushim, like it's explained in Chassidus. Hatam, the reason, yeah, she'oimrim b'shmona esra dafka slach lono. You know, when we daven Shmona Esra, we ask Hashem for forgiveness, right? Actually, it doesn't bring it here, but even another thing is, like, then after Amidah, we have, during the week, not Shabbos Yom Tov, but during the week, we have something called Tachnun, right? Tachnun is Hashamnu, we have been guilty, we have rebelled, we've stolen, we've talked nonsense, all the terrible things that we've done, and we confess in them, and then we have a thing, whatever, it's Tachnun, we say, asking Hashem for forgiveness for all the Averis, right? Ashkol? Yeah, that's never Hashamnu, yeah, but it's still as Tachnun. There's a piece there with the Hasin, asking forgiveness, right? And the question Chassidus asks is this. We know that when you daven, it's a ladder, a spiritual ladder, right? In fact, in Kabbalah, Chassidus explains, it's got to do with Yaakov's ladder, it's got four rungs, Psukah de Zimra, is one elevation, then we climb the ladder of going to the Brochas of Shema, then the Shema itself, then the Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is the ultimate level, right? Now, before you daven, it says in Halacha, in fact, you're supposed to put yourself in focus, you're supposed to prepare for davening, right? It says in the Mishnah, it says, "Ein oimdim lispalol." You don't stand to daven unless you have a sort of a focus. Koy v'roish, cause heaviness of the head, but it means like a more of a solemnness, a seriousness. You can't just daven. You know, you got to prepare for davening, right? There's a pasuk that Chassidus brings always, "Hikoin likras Hashem alekecha." Prepare yourself to meet Hashem, your God, right? And therefore, it says like before davening, you're supposed to reflect on the greatness of Hashem, the lowliness of man, right? Some of you are supposed to get dressed in a certain. There's a preparation for davening. Then you start the davening, and you go up the spiritual ladder, all these rungs, right? What's the top of the rung? Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is total bittul to Hashem. It represents the total symbolic surrender to Hashem. That's why you stand. It's like you're standing before the king, right? And then afterwards, we come down the walls. But what's the next thing we do after Shemoneh Esrei? Tachnun. Or in Shemoneh Esrei, we even say, Slach Lana, please forgive me. There would be no better place to say Tachnun than before we daven, right? Let's get up in the morning, say tachnun, do proper tshuva, get rid of all the rubbish, and then start davening, right? So it says, no, because actually the tachnun is a different kind of tachnun. When you get to stand in front of Hashem, all of a sudden the small stains show up very much. You discover the little things that actually you're not perfect, right? When you have a shirt, a garment that's dirty, but it's got a tiny speck somewhere, you clean it, but you don't even know the speck, you don't even notice the speck. Because in comparison to the state of the shirt, it's insignificant. When you have a very, very, very clean garment, suddenly the specks show up, right? So therefore he's saying, it's not a problem to say that we are giving an atonement for something we lack. Because we're talking about specifically the lacking that goes together with kisisa. When you've served Hashem fully, when you get to the highest madrega that you can serve Hashem with, right? And you get to kisisa, because you've given half a shekel, you've given everything you have, the 10 geira, there are things, then you have over ala pakudim, then you realize you are not so perfect. And that's a time you have to atone, right? So it's not a contradiction at all. And he says, why? Why slachlon? He says, shedafke mitzada kiruv lelakus. Specifically when you get to Shmona Esra, where you have a specific closeness to Hashem, shalidei zbonus to Krishna, which came from the reflection of Shema, that Hashem is one and loving, all the things that Chassidus talks about, what you're supposed to think about when you think about Shema, right? The oneness of Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, etc. When you come so close to Hashem, all of a sudden, he feels that he's sinning, right? When someone stands before a king, comes to the Gemara, the Gemara says that if someone is standing in front of a king and like just is distracted for a moment and just winks at someone, or you know, you say, oh, hello, you know, kind of thing, right? That's terrible aveira, because you're in front of the king. The very same thing, there could have been a nice gesture outside of the king's palace. You see a person, you say hello, it's fine. Well, if you talk to a regular person, and just for a second, sorry for a second, hello, how are you, good to meet you, and you go back to the person, that's fine. Could be a nice thing to do. But not in front of the king. Right? So therefore it's different. And what happens? When that happens, Nasa Etzla Mamadu Matzer de Pekudim. We finally enter the space of being Pekudim. What's Pekudim? We said before, I told you the passage before, Kamoy Vayi Pokeid Mokim David. That the place of David HaMelech is empty. The Al Yedei Zeh, what happens? Now he says another thing. So if you get to the place where it's empty, you find an emptiness, you find the chesaron, right? You find a lacking. So you need to do tshuva. What happens when you do tshuva? You go to another meaning of v'nifkadeto, the word pikudim. That is, v'nifkadeto ki pokei meshovecha. It's the thing that says to David HaMelech, your seat will be empty. Now, it can be lacking, or now we can go to even the higher thing. Empty means that you're total in a state of bittul, that you're nothing. You're empty because you're not noticed. Like, K'maymer Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Ano Simona Ba'alma. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that he had reached such a level of bittul to Hashem, right, that he's just a symbol. He's a symbol of Hashem. He's a manifestation of Hashem. He's nothing. He's not an independent being. And he says that in the brackets that if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai told us this, it means that on some level this is, obviously not a level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but it's something that's connected to us as well. And then he ends and he says, "Val yedei zem," because of this, "Nishlam hachisorim." Again, pikudim means lacking, and it means empty in the sense of complete surrender and bittul, but they go together. Again, all translation of words are connected. Because it's dafka through recognizing even the small lacking, because it's highlighted, because you're closer to Hashem, then that brings you to want to have a real atonement, a real tshuva, and that brings to a oneness with Hashem. That's when you achieve the true bittul. Right? So therefore, now we understand all the things. Says like this, Kisisos Rosh Mnei Yisrael, Pasuk says, right? And you'll be in a state of elevation. You have to give a machsa shekel, it has to be 10 goyro. Why 10 goyro? Because that's the two parts of it. You have to give everything that you can, And then you know it's only half, and Hashem gives the other half. But at the same time, what's going to happen when that happens is, suddenly you're going to realize you've transgressed, not with terrible things, on the contrary, with lesser things, but they highlight. And you see you've got a lacking, right? Chesaron, right? And then you have to give an atonement for your soul, and then you come to the real pekudim, which is total bittul. That's the depth of the mitzvah of Machsa Shekel. Just got a few minutes, I'll share with you something about these different layers of things, right? So we can have the word pikudim. No, because then he goes to the whole other thing, and actually it's not complete. This was a maimer that was transcribed after a Shabbos, so it was never edited by the Rebbe, as most of his talks. But for some reason in those days, there was some mamorim, either they forgot or whatever, so it has a note there at the end that the rest is missing, the conclusion is missing, so I don't know what the rest of the maimer really talks about. But just an idea about an avera can mean something that's just a very, very nuanced thing or a lacking on the person's madrega. I just had a talk with someone I met recently in the work that I've been doing last 4 weeks on the mental health thing. I was working with someone, a really, really nice guy. I'm trying to get him to come to a shir, and I think we might succeed. We were talking about the written Torah and the oral Torah. Can you really understand the written Torah without the oral Torah? And of course the answer is no, you can't. That's really one Torah. And he gave me the example, a very famous example, of King David with Bathsheba, right? So there's a huge, I think I was talking to him about it, there's a huge problem today when people learn only the written Torah, right? And don't understand the oral Torah. If you read the written Torah, David HaMelech's story sounds terrible. I mean, right? Doesn't sound like someone that Hashem should still call him afterwards, that my beloved, my tzaddik, the person I love, the person I cherished, and he said that he was better than Shlomo HaMelech and all that kind of stuff, right? That's what we know, that David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim sounds like a guy that would have been pretty much, cancelled, right? And of course we know, because the word, what does it mean he says? I once had a good moshel, I heard from Rabbi Blackman actually. When you say a word, you also have to know what it means. So like everything means in context, right? So he gave a nice mashal. He said that if you go to a concert, let's say, right, a concert of famous singers, amazing singers, right? And you loved it, this was an amazing concert, right? Then you go backstage somehow and you hear one of the people saying to someone else, you know, this singer tonight, he was off key. Now, if I say someone sings off key, like in shul, someone sings off key, I mean off key, like it's flat and it's not the right melody, it's not the right tune, right? It's obviously not what the person meant when he said it backstage, right? He meant in the context of his brilliance and his profession and of how he sings, the expert could see that today, if you really know how to listen, you could find it wasn't perfect, right? It's like from north to south. I mean, it's a different meaning altogether, right? You meet a guy that everyone can tell he doesn't know how to sing, and you say he's off key, you mean he doesn't know how to sing a tune, right? Same thing with the word chet. To Moshe Rabbeinu sin yes, to Dovra Melech sin yes. But the Gemara says, Kol Oimer David Chota, whoever says, a very interesting lashon, the Gemara says, Kol Oimer David Chota, anyone who says that David sinned meaning in our way of understanding the word sin, Eina Ela Toya, he is nothing but making a mistake. And I want to revert on the Gemara, because when you say something, when you say in the Gemara wording, Ela, only, like it's only this, there's two ways to say it. Sometimes it says, he's like, you can say, if everyone says David Melech make a mistake, David Melech sins, he's just making a mistake. He's toya, right? Make a mistake. It says, Einoi Ela Toya is nothing but making a mistake. What does that mean? It means not only are you misinterpreting the pasuk about David Melech, you don't understand David Melech to begin with. Like, you just one big mistake. What's right? Because it's impossible that it should be like, it's impossible. Such a person even, on that madrega, can't do an aveir like me and you, right? We can do plenty of aveirs. But, David Melech wasn't even connected, and Tanya brings, he was a tzaddik, he was the great, got rid of his Yetzirah, right? Same with Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't even shayach to such a thing. It's a tzaddik, more than a bein, right? It means, at some level, somewhere on the line, it was lacking. Then the question is, what does that mean then? Because that's not what the psukim read, right? Psukim read that he lived with a woman before she was divorced, right? That's what it means, yeah? Now, number one, that's adultery, number one. Number two, even if she wasn't divorced, it's not a nice thing to do. It doesn't sound like a David HaMelech kind of thing to do, right? So we have the Gemara, we have Torah Shabbat Peh, we have the Gemara first will explain that it wasn't a halachic problem altogether. Because all the people used to go to war would divorce their wives retroactively just in case they don't come back. Her husband was someone who was being deemed for Missa anyways, he would deserve to be killed because he was against Winston King, whatever, al pi halacha, he was supposed to die. And all those kind of things, right? And then you have Kabbalah. Kabbalah explains what was actually happening there. Don't forget, Mashiach comes from David and Bathsheba. Right? That whole story is the ancestry of Mashiach, among other strange stories in the Chumash. Right? Because actually what happened was, when David Melech went up on the roof and he saw his soulmate. He saw his neshama needs her neshama. He knew it has to happen. There was something wrong, that he was a bit premature. He didn't understand, it has to go through a whole process first. Okay, so on some level it was being, but the union was holy. Actually, it was holy. Mashiach comes from the union. Right? That you can only do when you learn Torah Shabbat Peh. But it also comes from understanding that words have multiple meanings. It can mean things in different contexts. It's like the mashal I gave you. When we say someone sings off key, it can mean something totally different. I'm talking about someone here, or I'm talking about a world-famous singer, right? I can say the same words, but they mean something totally, totally different. That's why it's important to understand this. But just, as a general, I'm not going to do this mind, I'm just saying it's just a general hashkafic thing to be very, very aware of. And also, it relates to the whole idea of a munas tzaddikim, to understand the people of Tanakh are not human beings like me and you. They're human beings, but they're not. Right? There's a big trend today in the way people learn Tanakh in Gemara to humanize the people of Tanakh. I say it works better for them, it makes them like a regular person, you know. They have their struggles and everything. It's all nonsense there. It's there. Of course we're supposed to learn from them, but they're on a completely different level. Even the Gemara says, with regard to the generations before the Gemara says, if the first generations were like angels, we like men. And if they were like men, then we like donkeys. That's what the Gemara says. Anuka Chamorim. And then it qualifies, says, and not like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair. If you heard this, it's a fascinating thing. Pinchas ben Yair was a great ton of the Gemara. And he had a donkey, and somehow the donkey was a very refined donkey. And he once gave him food, and he wouldn't eat it because they didn't take Truma Maisa from it. Or he sold him to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew came back, and he sold me a lemon because he won't work on Shabbos, this donkey. And Rabbi Pinchas Yor had to go over to him and say, and Swuspin, the donkey's here, that you belong to a non-Juna, you can work on Shabbos, it's okay, just like a yid's animal cannot work on Shabbos. And the guy, the non-Jew, was so impressed, he became a Yid afterwards. That's what Gemara says. So Gemara says that if the previous generation were like people who like donkeys, and not like the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair, to want a regular donkey. Right? So you have to know, like, we, you know. Doesn't mean we don't have strengths. We have strengths they didn't have. Like I told you once before, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chassidus, the Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person. One of the pshat, one of the ideas behind that is that he was shown a vision of all the generations. And he saw our generation that are so low, and yet we're still committed to Torah mitzvahs. And he felt humble. Okay, that's a certain thing we have that they didn't have. But we're not like them. They're just, it's a different, especially the tzaddikim, especially the Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech. But it has to also, with this word, understanding the word, you know what I'm saying? All right, stop there.